Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Another week here, Monday, April the 14th, 2014. We are live 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we're live streaming our show, which means people can listen to the program anywhere in the world. And then, of course, we podcast the program, making it available for you to listen on your schedule anytime, anywhere. During the Monday political face-off today, we have commentators Vince Robigo and John Munger, followed at 12:30, Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall is going to be joining us, and then our contributor on space exploration, Dr. Mark Sykes from the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, with a preview of what's called the Blood Moon Eclipse. That's going to be late tonight, but it might certainly be well worth waiting up for. I think about a little after midnight Tucson time should be very interesting. Our Monday political face-off features John Munger, Tucson attorney. John is also former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents. He's been very active in Republican politics for many years. He was a Republican candidate in 2010 for the governor of Arizona. Vince Robigo has been very involved with Democratic politics. He also is a Tucson attorney. Vince was a Democrat candidate for Arizona Attorney General in 2010. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe came out to the house to do some measuring for some bathroom mirrors on Saturday, and just my wife and I have left it in Moe's hands. He's going to, I'm sure, do a
right answer.
Fantastic job for a couple of bathrooms. I mean, this man is so professional, and he comes out, does all the measuring, then, of course, he'll come back and he'll do all the hanging of the mirrors. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John Munger, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. And Vince, how's it going?
Doing well.
Vince, congratulations. John and I both extend our congratulations for you really getting involved, and this was all over Facebook. You basically came across a small brush fire. Then you acted.
Yeah, I was just driving
along.
Tell
our listeners what happened.
Well, I was driving on Campbell Avenue going north, right by the university, and I saw a small plume of smoke after dropping off my kids last week. And my father was a firefighter for about 35 years. And so, you know, when you see fire, and I have a little extra sensitivity when it mm-hmm. comes to those things. And I just said, yeah, I better go check. Maybe it needs to be reported. I couldn't tell. Maybe somebody was burning something, you know, burning some weeds. I wasn't sure. So I pulled around, and as I came back and turned the corner, sure enough, there was a big brush fire there. Mm-hmm. And actually turned out there were four fires. They appeared to have been intentionally started. There was a big one, a smaller one that was closer to the house that abuts that brushy.
Very close, you said, to the house.
Yeah, there's a house right there next to this little wash brushy area. And then the person that had just called the fire department, apparently, as I pulled out, he said, the fire department's on the way. And there was two other fires about maybe 40, 50 yards down the wash. Hmm. And I could barely see that from where I was there. So I ran to the house that was next door, and nobody was home, and I grabbed their hose. And it was about a 75-foot garden hose, and I just turned it on and ran over there and started fighting the fire. And had my attorney suit jacket on.
There you go.
Of course, wearing my cowboy
the all-purpose
boots
attorney.
And jeans. Yes.
There you go.
And but so I'm sure I look pretty funny, but I got a real small inkling of what my dad used to do, and that, you know, I think anybody who you know cares about this community would have done the same thing. I don't feel like any sort of, you know, special person or anything, because TPD got there, they started fighting the other fires, they got there very fast, the response time was great. They went to the other fires that I couldn't see that were probably mm-hmm. harder to get to, actually, mm-hmm. coming from the north. So we put it out, and then they came over and took over and just really saturated.
How were these started, Vince?
I don't know. The firefighter told me that it was probably someone who maybe might be homeless and had maybe was cooking their food, mm-hmm. and they had fire, and then they just went along and, you know, did something. But they were too far apart, in my view, to have been, one cause, so to speak, like somebody. So it was something that was, anybody who cares about the community would have done the same thing. So
well,
I didn't feel.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we thank you for being a good citizen and taking action. 790-2040, by the way, is our Buckmaster Show live line number. Also, we invite you to, we mentioned Facebook, to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show. We've now surpassed 3,200 friends of the program. We're really happy and proud about that. John and Vince, we have a new state budget. The governor has signed, I believe she signed it Friday. We had Bruce Wheeler on the show on Friday, and Bruce was the assistant minority leader of the Democrats in the House, and the Democrats not at all happy about this budget, especially education funding. Let me ask you right off the bat, John, will more money for education translate into better students and better schools in this state?
Historically, it hasn't. There's no correlation across the country between the amount of money spent and the quality of the schools. It's interesting, the most money spent per student in the country is Washington, D.C., which has the worst school system in the country. Right with it is New York City, which also has one of the worst results in schools. It's how the money is spent and whether the money gets into the classroom. And that's the key to it. We have a very low percentage of our money in this state is spent in the classroom. I think the number is about 54% of the money in Arizona gets into the classroom. The national average is about 63%, so we're about almost 10% under the amount of money actually getting into the classroom. So it's that isn't a factor. It is not the major factor, and that's something that people don't understand well. They think, well, if you just pour money into education, that sounds good to people, but you need to put it into the right things. And that historically has not been happening in Arizona.
Vince, you're not happy with this budget.
No, I'm not. And, the reality is, I think on two fronts, the Arizona legislature and the party in power, which is the GOP, which has been in power for some time in Arizona, particularly in the legislature, they've been neglecting both our children and our school system. They've neglected it on the front, on the CPS front. That was a hot
child,
thousands of uninvestigated cases, and we still don't have this new agency that purportedly was going to, develop to take care of these issues. And then the second issue is public education. They've cut almost 25% over the past 5 years in this recessionary period, almost 25% of the public school funding in the state of Arizona has been cut. It's about $3 billion that had been used for our children in schools in the state of Arizona, public schools. And if you remember that tax increase that was being pushed to fund the schools, the governor promised that if it did not pass, that she would restore the funding to its levels that it had been without that measure. And so she broke that promise. The bigger issue is on top of this whole thing is we hear these statistics, like for example, John's talking in big broad numbers and using D.C. as an example, and I think New York. District of Columbia is an outlier. They're way out of whack in terms of you would not use that to make any sort of a true comparison with what's happening in all the states. It's not even a state, so let's start right there. Secondly, if you go back down and you look at other states which do adequately fund, you look at Massachusetts, you look at Maryland, and the results that they get in their school systems where they do fund a lot more is tremendous. Now, let me say one thing. I agree with John on this issue of, yes, it does matter how you spend it. I think we can all agree on that. But one of the things that's not being accounted for on the conservative side of the aisle when we're hearing this sort of discussion is that, for example, when you look at in the classroom spending, let's say I'll take John's numbers as being correct. Let's say we spend 54% on in classroom instruction. What does not get included in that figure is about 9.7%, somewhere near 10% of dollars that are spent on student support and instructional support. And those numbers do not get counted as in-classroom support teaching. Mm-hmm. So if you add those numbers, even if you just generally say, okay, 10%, add that on to the 54, mm-hmm. you're talking about 64% more or less that is going to make sure our students are learning, that they're getting the support that they need. And then on the flip side, you see our teachers that are doing the best they can, and they're spending their own dollars. There have been studies that have shown, and these are outdated by
now. They're putting all their own
money
into
supplies. They're up to $1,000. So they're underpaid, and they're spending their own money on materials.
I think that it's clear that schools that operate that are charter schools or private schools where the teachers are paid substantially less do far better. And it's because they're non-unionized. They are more interested in the students. So there's a direct correlation. You're spending less money per student in the charter schools, which are public schools, and in the private schools. And yet the education is better. Why is that? It's because the money is being spent in the right way for the right purposes with the right value system in the system. Now, Vince talks about, well, there's this 9%, whatever. You know, the numbers are true across the country. That extra 9% is in all the other schools across the country, too. So maybe their numbers are really 71% and ours are in the 60s, but we're still getting less, about 10% less into the classroom than other states are. So, I think that the right answer is we need to frankly reduce the power of the unions in the schools. We need to, continue to put pressure on the schools to produce. Grading the schools is a great answer. The charter schools and the private schools actually have to compete for students. But the public schools do not. And that shows up in how the schools do. The public schools.
That's not
true.
Oh,
yes, it's very true. The public schools would
Boy,
like.
I don't know when the last time you had a kid. I've got two kids right now in public school, and those public schools are competing hard to try to get their kids, get other kids, where they have open enrollment. It is. I look into that.
John, I think
it's not the case.
They have to take every. The
they have to take.
They have to take everyone.
They have to take everybody.
Except everyone.
That's right. And. So I just think that this is a very complicated, complex subject. And if you look at, there is no direct correlation. And I've done this these studies. There's no direct correlation between the amount of money spent and the education. The correlation is how schools spend money.
We're going to take a break. Vince, you will be up to the plate here when we come back to rebuttal Mr. John Munger. Vince Ravigo and John Munger, it's the Monday Political Face-Off. Let's take our first break of the week right here.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off. Our commentators today, John Munger and Vince Robigo. And Vince, before the break, John, you were up to the plate here, and we had to take the break, so go ahead. We're talking about equating quality education with dollars spent on it.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. But before I say that, I do want to, we were talking about the fire that we were talking about. Aside from putting out the fire in this budget with regard to education, I do want to congratulate the other two. There are two other people did stop. There was a TUSD employee, and he's the one that actually called 911 on that fire we were talking about.
The brush
and a
fire.
Nurse, I think her name was Emma. I didn't catch her last name, from UMC. So, you know, thank you both for also stopping. And you know, so Tucson is full of concerned citizens. And Tucson Fire did a great job. So let's talk about this fire, this issue that we have with education. I'll start with John's last point because it is incorrect. He said that there are no studies that show that higher funding correlates to higher performance. In fact, there's a study that that was published this year. It came out in Education Week, February 2014, and did a study, and it showed that, for example, a $1,000 per pupil funding increase – correlated with almost a 0.5% increase in NAEP scores for low-income fourth graders. And there were, it's a lengthy report, but there were other studies, and their findings were essentially that the greater the proportion of total public spending that is covered by a state, the better the student testing outcomes were on the NAEP test. So, John, there are studies out there that show this, but let me talk about the political side of this. What we have here in Arizona is a legislature that has been sued for illegally refusing to fund, constitutionally fund, the public education system to the levels they're supposed to. There's a court order right now that the GOP legislature has come into court and fought tooth and nail against to try to fund the schools the way they're supposed to be. So they're funding it at an illegal level. The GOP majority is fighting tooth and nail to keep from having to fund it. And you have to step back and ask yourself, from whatever side of that, whether you're libertarian, Republican, Democrat, Green, you have to ask yourself, if you are the adults and you're in charge of this system involving our future and our young children, what sort of adults are going to balance the budgets on the backs of our children and go into court and refuse to fund properly? And I know we're going to keep going on this, so I'm going to give him an opportunity to respond, because the reality is, when you start talking about these other things too, I'd love to get into this apples and oranges comparison with charter schools to public schools and talk about the privatization push, because that is probably the most deadly bill that is out there right now in our legislature pending could potentially destroy public education.
I heard John say something about here we go again.
Well, it's always balancing the budget on the backs of some select group. Look, here's the answer. If you spend $1,000 more per student and it actually gets to the student, sure, it's going to help. But in Arizona, it's not getting to the student. And what the legislature is trying to do is say, look, get the money to the students. Quit underfunding the students and overfunding these administrations. And that's what's going on in Arizona. And I repeat, the dollars that are getting into the classroom in Arizona are about 10% fewer dollars than is the national average.
Where's the money going?
It's going into administration and all kinds of programs. If you're computer systems, TUSD a couple years ago bought into some big expensive computer system, and then the next year they decided it didn't work. So they bought a new computer system.
So what John is saying,
and the answer is, we need to handle the money differently. And what the legislature is trying to say to these people is, look, we know that schools that are funded less than the public schools do far better. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And the public schools' response is, more money, more money, more money, more money, and then they don't want to be responsible for where they spend it. And it doesn't work.
Look, the reality is teachers and parents, and I'm a parent, I've got two children in public schools. When you see the facts, and John hasn't addressed those facts, the fact that
I'm just giving you the facts.
Almost 25, you're not addressing the facts of the crisis we have facing the funding for our schools. Right now, our children are essentially getting subsistence education.
We are
the last in the country for how much we spend per pupil. If you look at what we're doing right now, parents are not asking that we fund them with gilded schools. We're asking for some equity going back to where we were. But wait, let me finish, because you didn't let me finish this point. The point is, we're trying to get back. $3 billion has been cut over the past 5 years. The governor promised to restore it. That has not happened. And then when you start comparing these charter schools, what John doesn't tell the public, what the other side doesn't tell the public, is that, for example, they do not have to provide English language learner schools. Basis, great school, wonderful school. They get to cherry pick their students. They have 168 students here. When you don't have to fund these
basis,
other aspects, well, sure. And you get to cherry
basis
pick. Sure, you're going to have great results.
Outlying example.
But,
I will tell you,
but
Vince,
the privatization is going to kill our schools. And
I've looked at the numbers of what we
I've looked too, John.
Of what
and you're
we,
wrong.
What we have been paying into the schools over the past 40 years, and we have doubled. On an inflation basis, we have doubled the amount of of money that we have spent per student in our schools, and the results keep getting worse and worse.
We're not living
and
in the
worse.
50s, John. Things are different
I'm
now.
I'm not
we
talking
have
about the 50s. I'm talking
issues.
About from 1970
okay,
forward.
70s. 70s, right. Fine.
And,
we're not
and,
in the 70s.
And we have doubled the money.
You're using 70s-style reasoning.
Okay. I have doubled the money. We have doubled the money, inflation-adjusted over the years, and the results keep getting worse.
All right. All right, John Munger, Vince Robigo, thank you, gentlemen, for spending part of your lunch hour with us here on the Monday Political Face-Off. Have a great week.
Have a great week.
And a great Easter to both of you coming up.
Thank
the Monday
you.
Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Give Moe and his family a call. Stop by and see them at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. You will not regret the decision. They will take care of you, give you some really high-quality service. We'll be right back on the midway point of the Buckmaster Show.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
April is Earth Month at UA Biosphere 2, where every weekend in April experience programs that will inspire a better understanding of our world. Weekend themes include the weather, ocean, energy, and Earth Day weekend, where special hands-on activities and live animals will be featured. Also new and just opened are the exciting ocean and rainforest gallery exhibitions. Both of these fascinating immersion projects are open daily. More at b2science.org. Visit Biosphere 2 today. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:35 on this Monday afternoon. A prominent Tucson attorney, Paul Gatone, is advocating for a civilian review board for police-involved shootings. Mr. Gatone says the Pima County Attorney's Office cannot be unbiased because the office works regularly with officers from various law enforcement agencies. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. Barbara, how are you?
Hi, I am just great, Bill.
Well, it's good to talk with you again.
I assume
you are not happy with Mr. Gatone for making what you believe are really unsupported allegations.
Well, I think he's really off base. We have cases with officers who come to us all the time where officers are the suspect, and we evaluate those cases on all sorts of crimes, and we prosecute when there is evidence to prove the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. And I think what Mr. Gatone failed to realize here is whether you find a shooting justified or unjustified does not necessarily mean that there's an ability to prosecute the case, because even if it's unjustified shooting, we have to be able to have evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. So we're making two evaluations here. We are evaluating a case for the police department as to whether or not the conduct of the officer at the time of the shooting was justified under the statute. And you know, our statutes allow an officer, if he or she reasonably believes that their life's in danger or somebody else's life in danger, they have a right to use a gun and use deadly force. The statutes permit that. So under almost all those circumstances, officers were justified in shooting. There were a couple of circumstances where we were either unable to make that determination because there was insufficient evidence, or we determined that the shooting was unjustified, but that we would not be able to prove it to a jury. That's a different burden of proof, and one that's much, much higher.
And as a prosecutor, what about your own ethical obligation? That's so important.
Absolutely. We are required ethically to do certain things. We are required to determine whether or not there's sufficient evidence that meets our burden of proof, and if there is, we're required to go forward. And ethically, if there isn't, we can't go forward. We can't even go to the grand jury to present a case unless we have evidence that can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Barbara LaWall is with us, Pima County Attorney, 790-2040, if you'd like to join the conversation. Barbara, how does your office then evaluate potential cases against law enforcement officers? Are those evaluations done in exactly the same way that you would evaluate potential cases against everyone else?
Well, pretty much, except that we actually have a higher standard for officer-involved shootings. So, for instance, there was just one the other night. My chief criminal deputy is called out on all officer-related shootings. So she actually goes to the scene after it has been investigated by officers and determined to sort of been held in abeyance there. And she goes out to the scene and does a walkthrough and finds out what has happened. She ends up talking with the officers, evaluating the scene, and then at a later time, all the reports are transmitted to her. So then she reads all of the reports, and there's only one person that does the officer-related shootings in my office. And she has enormous amounts of experience and has tried capital murder cases and really understands the law. And then she makes that independent decision based upon review of the facts, the own evidence that she has seen out at the scene, and then she has to apply the law to those facts and reach a conclusion. And she reaches the conclusion that's mandated by law. So when there's sufficient evidence to prove that a crime has been committed, then charges are filed and we prosecute. And we do this not just on officer-related shootings, but on all officer-involved crimes.
Barbara Lawal is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line, and we go to the live line right now. Barney has a question or comment for Barbara Lawal. Go ahead, Barney.
Hello, Bill. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Barney.
I heard it mentioned that is Mr. Catone, the attorney.
Mm-hmm.
He claims that the Pima County's attorney office may be biased.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that he's a plaintiff's attorney. Is that correct?
He works, oh boy, I'm going to get this wrong. He is an attorney with a public office. I'd have to look.
Would
it
he be that. Well? Maybe a better way to ask it is if he would be representing people that he claimed
yes.
were victimized by
yes.
Tucson police. Well, then I wonder if he would claim to be completely bias-free as well. It works both ways.
Well, you know
it?
That we all have a bias. That there's just a bias, and hopefully my prosecutors have been well trained enough to set aside any personal biases they have and represent the state in a matter that is a neutral, detached, ethical manner.
Barbara Lawal with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. You mentioned there was an officer-related shooting just recently, Barbara. Have we seen more of these lately? I mean, I don't have these statistics at hand, but
that
perhaps
is a great question, and so the answer is yes. We have seen lethal force being used increasingly, not necessarily by officers so much as the individuals, the suspects. They're generally, many, many, many are armed and they're dangerous. And so we've seen officer-involved shootings increase over the years, and that's, I believe, in response to a number of things. I think that the U.S. Marshal says that there's a greater number of very dangerous criminals who are emerging from prison, who've been there for a long time. They're coming out on the streets. They're armed. But I just see an incredible increase in the number of individuals armed who are committing crimes. It's just not unusual for people that the law enforcement officers encounter to be armed. And when they're armed, they're dangerous. And then the other thing is that when you look at all the officer-related shootings, a significant portion of the individuals who are involved in these situations with the officers have a history of mental illness. And so we have two things. We have people who have mental illness who are armed, and that is a very dangerous, volatile combination as well.
Barbara Lawal with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. And, of course, you do not prosecute, I assume, whether law enforcement or civilian, when there is justifiable use of deadly force.
You know, the state statutes justify the use of deadly force any time that a reasonable man, and that's the standard, it's the reasonable man standard, believes that his or her life is in danger or a third party's life is in danger. The law gives them the right to use deadly force under those circumstances. So it would be unethical for us to prosecute people in those particular circumstances. And we always have to make this decision based upon, you know, the jury is going to get this reasonable man standard. Would it be reasonable for 12 people in this community to believe that this person was justified under whatever the particular facts are for using deadly force?
All right, let's go back now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Adriana has a question or comment for Barbara LaWall. Go ahead, Adriana.
Hi, Mrs. LaWall. I just wanted to thank you for your prosecution academy that you have, and I would like to see if there's any plans to have it on sometime later this year.
Yes, Adriana, thank you very much. We're planning on one in the fall.
And what's involved, Barbara LaWall, with those academies for those that don't know?
Well, we have an 8-week course that we offer free to the public. And what it does is it sort of walks people through what we do in our office, both in the criminal division and in the civil division. Most of the sessions involve criminal law, and we try to educate people about what their prosecutor's office does on their behalf, how we prosecute crime. We take them through, there's one whole session on the death penalty and who's on death row. There is another session that sort of educates them about the various divisions within the criminal division, how we prosecute gang cases and violent cases and property cases and narcotics cases. It provides an education about what your public prosecutor's office is about and what it does for you.
All right,
thank you, Adriana.
Barbara LaWall, thank you for spending part of your lunch hour with us. We appreciate it very much.
You're most welcome, Bill, anytime.
Thank you. 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Sykes of the Planetary Science Institute, now celebrating its 42nd year here in Tucson. Mark is next, right after this.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning. I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Folks over in Silver City, very excited, and they should be. Silver City named number 18 in the top 20 small towns worth visiting in 2014. Congratulations to historic Silver City. So much to do over there with all the arts galleries, the coffee shops, world-class downtown restaurants. Congratulations to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You can find out more about Silver City. It's only three and a half hours east of Tucson. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, with all the great things to do, like hiking in the Gila Wilderness or staying in the many places like Spirit Canyon Lodge. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Mark Sykes joining us right now. Dr. Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, based here in Tucson, now in its 42nd year as a nonprofit that is engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, Mark, how are you?
I'm great. It's always great to be here.
Folks, very excited about the blood moon eclipse. Is this something that, well, it's getting a tremendous amount of attention, but are all eclipses kind of blood moons?
Well, we get partial eclipses where the shadow doesn't completely cover the moon, and so you see a little, you know, white edge. But during a full eclipse where it gets fully into the Earth's shadow, then yeah, it's always red. And that's because the light scattering through the Earth's atmosphere, blue gets scattered out, you know, pretty efficiently. And so it's the red light that makes it through the most. And so that's what gives the moon its red color.
And a lunar eclipse occurs when the sun, Earth, and moon kind of line up so the Earth's shadow falls on the moon, darkening
it. Right, yeah. The moon moves into the shadow of the Earth.
And this will be locally, I think, a little after midnight it will begin?
No, it'll start around 9:50 or so. That's when you can start seeing the shadow on the moon. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be full eclipse at 12:45 a.m.
So
well worth seeing.
Well worth seeing, definitely.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. But I think the attention with this particular one, it's the first of a series of four of these, and that is unusual to have four.
Yeah, I think
kind of back to back.
In such close proximity, it happens every few hundred years or something. But that just means that it's that much more fun to watch.
All right, Dr. Mark Sykes is with us from the Planetary Science Institute here in Tucson. 790-2040. You have been very vocal in your in this controversy about, is it a planet or something else that the International Astronomical Union, of course, the definition of what is a planet. And this, again, has come up because there is a large object that was discovered in the kind of the outer reaches of the solar system?
Well, there was, well, first of all, I want to say always challenge authority, but then, well, there was a large asteroid-sized body or dwarf planet-sized body about 450 kilometers in diameter, about the size of Arizona, I think, that was discovered in the outer reaches of the solar system. It has an average distance from the sun of several hundred Earth-Sun distances, astronomical units. And it's a similar orbit to another larger object, about a 1,000-kilometer object, 950, called Sedna. And their orbits are kind of lined up in a way that the discoverers of this most recent object were thinking, huh, how did these objects get into this orbit? And so they're speculating that there might be an even more massive object out there, 10 times as massive as the Earth, which is perturbing the orbits of these other objects into these odd shapes. And but then, of course, under the IAU definition, an object 10 times the mass of the Earth at that distance would not be a planet. It would just be an asteroid.
But this object would be, this if there is such an object out there, it would be in our solar system.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that it's likely not to be out there because there have been some recent surveys of the ecliptic plane by the WISE telescope, which is in a post-cryophase mission. This is the Wide Infrared Sky Explorer, and it didn't. I don't believe it saw anything that big out at that distance.
We learn something new, it seems like, every week about the solar system, maybe every day. For the past few years, Mark, the NASA has been paying an organization called SpaceX, Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, and Virginia-based Orbital Sciences Corporation to keep the space station well-stocked. Well, the need arose, of course, after the space shuttles, NASA's workhorses for station shipments were retired in 2011. Russia, Europe, and Japan also made occasional deliveries, but I'll tell you, I guess they need a delivery and they need it now up at the space station.
People got to eat and drink and wash their hands.
They're a month late in delivering more than 2 tons of cargo, but what this points out is that commercial space craft are really kind of the way of the future, aren't they?
Well, they've been the way of the past, too, because NASA has previously purchased commercial spacecraft from McDonnell Douglas, which became Boeing, and Lockheed, and other companies to launch their stuff. So it's just a new group of people who've been making focusing on smaller rockets, which have now entered the fray, the commercial fray, if you will, and where the government is still their customer. But it's great that we've had these new entrepreneurs out there to help fill the gap of the rockets we need to keep things supplied up there.
How does that work then? NASA then contracts with these companies, and then they deliver the product to,
if they can get off the ground. Yeah, sure.
But the logistics and the planning of this are handled by NASA. I mean, it gets through
NASA contractors. I think they're doing some of these launches out of Kennedy, for instance, and so there's various. I think United Space Alliance. I don't know if they're still actually doing it. That launches or that oversees the launching of vehicles that then go up to the space station.
But they do need supplies up there.
Yep. There's still people up there.
Yeah. And some of those people have been up there a long time, haven't they?
I don't know what but people have spent as long as a year up on the space station.
Well. What's after the International Space Station? That's kind of the next thing. Where do we go from here?
Well, there is not really much of a plan at this point in time.
That's what I figured.
The space station has been extended, authorized to be continue to be funded through, I think, 2024, but we haven't had a long term idea of what is our role in space. And people want to send people, humans to Mars, back to the moon. But even then, it's still go back and plant another flag and return. then what? And so I think that ultimately we'll need to have a long-term strategy of do we want to see if we can live off the land and expand our human-tended economic and personal presence beyond the Earth's atmosphere.
And that's the discussion right now, isn't it?
Not really.
No.
No, right now it's just mostly about where to plant the flag next.
And how to go year to year.
We've got this
very
expensive
year
thing up there. Yeah, it's kind of a year-to-year type of a thing. There isn't the long-term vision that is in operation or really being discussed at this point in time.
Congratulations to the Planetary Science Institute. It was Planetary Science Institute Day in Tucson. The mayor came out, took a look at your facilities. I saw some stuff on Facebook.
Oh, well, that was the Planetary Science Institute Day was about a year ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we did have an open house.
I saw a picture of you with the mayor on Facebook.
Yes, Mayor Rothschild came by and we got
to
show
him
our stuff.
Yeah.
We just purchased a third building and we are expanding.
We'll get him to do another day.
No, it was great to have him out. It was fun showing him all the things that we do.
All right, Mark Sykes, thanks a lot. We'll see you in May. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. And Mark Sykes taking a nice big swig of Culligan water.
Mm-mm.
All of the in-studio guests are supplied with Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8 here on KVOI. Then The Daily Double, a new talk show from 8 to 9. And Rosemary Brandt, our ace producer, and myself will be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.